Hallelujah, aren't you thankful? Hallelujah, Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy, God, hallelujah. Your faithfulness, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to give to you this morning, Lord, in worship and praise, Lord, but another opportunity, Lord, to give to you of our tithes and offerings, Lord. I pray that you bless every faithful and cheerful giver this morning, the ones given by faith, in Jesus' name, amen.
Your mercy. Amen, amen. Why don't we do that this morning? Why don't we worship him? Come on, he's been good to you. Come on, we don't worship him just because of who we are. We don't worship him because of what he's done. We just worship him because he's good. He's a good God. He loves us. God, you are good. God, you are good. We worship you. We worship you. God is good. Amen. Somebody just shout, God is good. He is good to us. He is good. You may be seated this morning, this afternoon, whatever time it is. I got to get used to that. We're still morning. Okay. I do want to say, just before we move forward, what an awesome presence of God we feel. And I don't want to interrupt the flow at all of what God is doing, because I believe God has something special for this service today. But I do want to just take a minute. Do want to take a minute and say thank you. My wife and I are so humbled and so privileged, so honored, so, I said it on Wednesday night, whatever word you could look up in the thesaurus to explain how we feel is just how we feel. We just feel so humbled and privileged for the vote of confidence a couple of weeks ago, and now it seems like it's been a marathon, it seems like it's been months, but also it happened in a blink of an eye. It's so weird. It's someone, we had dinner the other night with a couple of friends from our old church, which is even getting weird to say, but it just feels so surreal. It just, can't believe we're here, but man, it feels good to be here. It feels good to be here. I do want to give honor to Brother Davis and to Brother Wells and to Brother Colthart before both of them, who have just paved the way. This church has been a stalwart in this area for 50-plus years, and just what you guys have stood for. I got to meet Sister Adkins, and she informed us that she is the oldest saint here, so I'm sure And I don't mean to embarrass, and I don't mean to acknowledge, but just what she has seen and what this core group of this body of church, what you guys have been through, my wife and I consider it just a privilege to walk in and immediately feel the presence of God, immediately know that this is a God-fearing and a God-loving church. So I give honor to those that came before, that paved the way for you as saints, that have paved the way, that have been here and been faithful. We just couldn't be more proud and more happy to be a part of this. I do want to turn our attention to the book of Ephesians, and I will ask you to stand now. I gave you a few minutes to rest. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 is where we'll be reading. And before we do, I do want to thank the church and thank Sister Rose and her kids, her awesome children that and everyone else who was a part of it that gave us a gift basket on Wednesday night full of assortments from all over sandwich. There was a candle in there. You guys had to be following the will of the Lord. My wife loves candles. I had to fight her not to light the candle in the car ride home. I was like, babe, that's probably not safe. We shouldn't do that. But literally, I'm not making this up. As soon as we walked in the house Wednesday night, it was probably 10:30 at night, she still lit a candle. For 5 minutes before we went to bed, she just enjoyed that candle. So thank you. And for the many text messages, many Facebook messages, many emails, I wish I could recite all of them and thank each and every one of you individually, but we just feel so welcome and we appreciate that. So thank you. But back to the important thing, which is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. I'll be reading a couple of verses up until 22. It says, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." I want to speak to us for just a few moments, the foundations of our apostolic church. If we could put our Bibles down, put our phones down, and let's just ask God to do whatever he's desired to do in this service. In Jesus' name, God, we give you glory. God, we give you honor. I thank you for the worship. I thank you for the word that we heard this morning in our first service. Now, God, I pray that you would do all those things that you've started, God, that this would be a culmination of everything that you've already done in this service, God, through practice, through pre-service prayer, God. Lord, that you would just make yourself made known, made evident, let your spirit flow freely here today, and we'll give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. You may be seated. Before I go a step further, I did want to just acknowledge somebody. Good to see Noah here today. Get over and see Noah. I know Noah. Yeah, give it Noah's. I know Noah's brother well. And if you know Noah's brother or know Noah, you would look at them in the eyes and say, whoa. You are definitely Shiloh's brother, so he just came over and is attending Northern Illinois playing hockey for them, so excited he's here, and also good to see Chris and Deirdre. Okay, good. I got it right first time. I shouldn't have second-guessed. So good to see you guys. But in preparing for this first opportunity, this first time to be in front of you guys as pastor, I had gone back and forth as to what to bring. I just wanted to be sure. You know, you ever just wanted to be sure that it was the right thing. And so I was thinking about what I could bring today. And so I believe I wanted to set the stage of what the foundation of our church is going to be. I believe that this church already has a very firm foundation. Nothing that I bring today is a contrary to what you guys already have established, what you've put forth in the word and prayer and in your faithfulness. But this is simply to build upon what this church is already established upon, because I believe the foundation of this church is going to carry us when times get tough. Your foundation is what you can fall back on. Without a strong foundation, when the winds come, when the waves come, we have nothing. So I want to establish a firm foundation, or probably reestablish a firm foundation of not only what I believe for my wife and what I believe for my family, but what I believe God is leading us to for this church. There's five pillars of this foundation I want to talk to us about today. And the first pillar that I believe is the most important pillar that we are going to lean upon when times are tough is unceasing prayer. I believe we must be a church that prays. I believe that revival will start and stop with prayer. I believe that lives being changed will start and stop with prayer. It won't be because of my preaching. It won't be because of my wife singing. It won't be because of Brother Bill on the drums. That's not going to bring revival. If we see revival in Sandwich, if we see the kind of revival that Brother Tom talked about this morning, it will be because we are a praying church. It will be because we are a church that decided to get together and we are going to pray until we see the face of God. The most important thing that we can become is a praying church. The first church was born during an apostolic prayer meeting. The disciples, they had been in Jerusalem for 10 days. They hadn't yet experienced the Holy Ghost. They just knew that Jesus told them to pray. So all they knew to do, all they could do was pray. So they got together and they prayed. And when you don't know what else to do, when you don't have any other answers, we pray. When we don't know how to fix it and how to figure it out, we pray. We'll be built upon a praying church. Mark 11, Jesus taught his disciples. Verse 23, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Jesus is telling them, not only pray prayers, believe the prayers that you are praying are going to come to pass. See, we're not praying empty prayers. The prayers that we pray, they don't just bounce up off the ceiling and come back down. We need to believe that when you speak to that mountain, when you pray at that mountain, you expect it to move. We'll be a church that prays expectant prayers, not hopeful prayers, not maybe prayers. We want to pray expecting prayers, that when we pray, God will hear, God will answer, and God will work. Whatever that need is, God wants to do it. The first church saw in Acts chapter 4 that there was power in prayer. Verse 31, it says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that that same Holy Ghost that was poured out in Acts chapter 4, we have that same Holy Ghost. And we hear, we read of the room was shaken, of the it felt like fire. God wants us to feel that fire. And I mean in a literal sense. Sometimes we speak figuratively. I believe that the power of the Holy Ghost is so strong that if we would get in one mind, one accord, this very room could be shaken. Your very life could be shaken. Because that's what God wants to do. Too long we've prayed weak prayers. And I'm not, hear me, throughout this entire sermon, I may be saying things, and I'm not trying to attack the past. This is not an attack on the past. This is a moving forward. This is maybe an attack on Titus and praying weak prayers. But I want to pray bold prayers in the Holy Ghost. I want us to know that God is fighting on our behalf. Acts chapter 12, again in the first church. King Herod, there was revival spreading out all over Jerusalem, and King Herod was scared, and he didn't want to lose control, and so he captures Peter, and he puts him in jail, and his plan is, after Easter, he is going to have Peter crucified, he's going to have him killed. He's already killed James. And he's already seen the response from the Jews. They were excited. They loved that. And so he captures Peter. And in verse 12, before I even get to verse 12, verse 5, it says, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Peter was locked away in a cell. He was in a hopeless, desolate situation. But the church got together. And they said, we don't know what else to do. We can't break him out of prison. So we're just going to pray without ceasing until God does something. And wouldn't you know it, God did something. The scripture tells us in verse 8, 9, and 10, it says that the angel of the Lord went into the cell where Peter was shackled. And he was shackled with double shackles in between two prison guards. They didn't even want to put him in a cell with somebody else. The King Herod said, put him between two prison guards so he can't get away. But late at night, when the church was praying, the angel of the Lord entered into that room and simply said, Peter, stand up. And when he stood up, the double shackles fell off of him. And the angel of the Lord led him out of the first gate, led him out of the second gate. No one was the wiser. No one knew what had taken place. But the angel of the Lord had brought him out. And we see in verse 12, the response of the first church after this miracle that had taken place. Peter, it's in verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 12, it says, when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She knew it was Peter. She got so excited, she left Peter at the door. And she went to tell everybody, Peter's here. I heard Peter's voice. She didn't even see Peter's face. She just knew. She was so excited. But they said unto her, thou art mad. And she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And then the people praying for the release of Peter. The people bound together in unity, praying for the release of Peter. They said, that's not him, that's his angel. That's not him, but Peter just standing out the door, probably raining, probably cold. He's come on, guys. I can smell the food from here. Let me in. And then Peter continued knocking, and they opened the door and saw him, and they were astonished. They were praying for the very miracle to take place, and Peter's knocking on the door, and they say, nope, can't be him. They would rather believe it was an angel. It made more sense that it was Peter's angel to them than it was the very Peter himself. When we get together in unity and prayer and binding together, we need to believe that the prayers we pray are going to come to pass. And when we see them come to pass, we're not going to say, well, that was ironic. Could you believe it? What a coincidence. No, we are going to know that the Almighty has stepped into our situation and has answered our prayers. If he can do it in the spiritual, he can do it in the physical. If you need a healing, God can touch your body. If you need a financial miracle, God can do it. I don't want to just pray spiritual prayers. I believe that God can answer physical prayers. That's what God wants to do. That's what he's able to do. We cannot be surprised when God steps in. If we can preach the word, if we can believe this happened then, how can we be surprised when God steps into our life? If we're truly going to be an apostolic church, we have to pray first. Before we seek godly counsel, pray first. Before we try and fix it on our own, pray first. Before we get overwhelmed and complain and quit, pray first. Pray. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Continue to be in prayer. The first church, they prayed 10 days. They preached 10 minutes. And they saw 3,000 souls added that day. Sometimes we preach 10 days, we pray 10 minutes, and we see maybe 3 souls, and we think we had a revival. Oh, look what God did. Look what he did here. But if we would get like the first church and realize that prayer comes first, God, prayer before preaching, prayer before outreach, prayer before evangelism, pray first, and God will have his hand in every single situation that we come up against. Andrew Murray, a theologian, is quoted as saying, if there's anything the devil wants to do, it's bring the church to the point of laying aside prayer. If we give up praying, the devil could care less about any program or structure we ever build. As long as the church doesn't pray, there's very little for the devil to fear. We're not going to be a church of programs. We're going to be a church of prayer. I'm not against programs. They have a good place. I thought it was great. We got to be here when Sister Connie and the Sunday school team were doing VBS and the Faith Race, and I think that's tremendous, and I encourage and support all the programs we can do. But the programs are not going to win sandwich. The programs aren't going to bring revival. But if we can combine prayer with our programs, God will have to show up. Prayer becomes first. The second pillar of the apostolic church is unmovable doctrine. We are not going to go backwards on our doctrine. We will not let it slip away. I will not let it slip away. You have been taught by Brother Davis, by Brother Wells, even Brother Coulthard before him, sound apostolic doctrine, and we are going to stay in sound apostolic doctrine. We are not moving from that. The first church in Acts 2 saw the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. They got to experience that, and it spilled out of that upper room, and it went into the streets, and they saw them speaking in other tongues. They thought they were drunk. They couldn't quite figure it out, and it wasn't until Peter stood up and gave a very short sermon, just a short sermon, that they were pricked in their hearts, and they said, what should we do? And Peter, as we know, gave what we hold dearly as the New Testament, as the apostolic faith. He gave us Acts 2:38, and I want to read just beyond Acts 2:38. But we all know it. But then Peter, he said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But he goes beyond. He says, the promise is unto you and to your children and those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I want to read just beyond that. It said, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. We will continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That doctrine that Peter preached, we will be steadfast in that. Without apostolic doctrine, we are not an apostolic church. We might as well take the name. It's in our name, First Apostolic Church. If we're going to be named that, we might as well preach that and believe that. We are going to be apostolic in our beliefs. We're going to be apostolic in our belief concerning the Word of God. The Bible is God's inspired Word. It contains a true history of creation of heaven and hell. It contains a true creation of the history of the earth, the destiny of humanity, and it's the infallible Word of God. We will not go backwards upon the Word of God. Everything we do will be based upon the Word of God. We believe that God is a spirit and there's only one God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the creator of the universe. He revealed himself as the father of creation, the son of redemption, and the spirit of regeneration. We believe that all three are one. There is one God. There is one Lord. We believe that. We believe that sin is a real thing. And it's a transgression of the law and the commandments of God. And because of what occurred in the Garden of Eden, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. We believe that sin is real. However, we believe that salvation and grace is also real. We believe that in salvation by grace through faith and not of ourselves. We could never earn salvation. We couldn't do enough to pay back what God has done, but God has given it to us as the gift of grace. So we can now achieve salvation through faith and believing in him and following after repentance, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and being baptized in Jesus' name. We believe in the second coming of Christ. Brother Davis shined a light on this past Wednesday night, but there is coming a day soon and very soon that he is coming back for his church. And just like Brother Davis said, it's going to happen quickly. Brother Tom talked about it today. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what our bodies hold, what will happen when we get in the car or when God comes back. But while we're here today, we are going to expect and believe and trust that God is fighting for us and know that he is with us and he has not left us alone. We believe in these things. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continuing in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Continue in this. If you want to know how to be saved, continue in this. If this is your first time here, we'll do a Bible study. We'll figure out, we'll explain to you how to continue in this. If this is your 50th Sunday here or 500th, continue in this. The world is going to try and tell you there's a better way, there's a new way, but like Paul tells Timothy, continue in this. Continue walking. It's a walk. Sometimes that next step is harder than the one before. And sometimes you don't even know where your foot is going to end up. You don't know if there's firm foundation or if it's loose soil. You don't know. But God is trying to tell us, continue in this. Continue in the doctrine. Don't go backwards from what he has given us. The third pillar of our apostolic church, we will have bold preaching. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preaching is the communication of God's divine truth. The preaching will not just be done from this pulpit. I believe preaching goes beyond this pulpit. We all are called to be preachers of the gospel to our world. I can't go to your job. You can't spend time with my family. But you, each and every one of you, are called to preach the gospel to the lost. It may not look like this, but I'm not saying bold in terms of volume of your voice. I'm saying bold to realize that you are a light in a very dark world. And you need to be bold in what you believe in. You need to be bold in what you stand for. You need to preach the word. Be instant in season. If you look at the first church, they were preachers. Acts 8 says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 4, it just says they preached the word. The next verse, it says Philip preached Christ unto them. They're preaching the same thing. They're preaching the word. They're preaching Christ. It's because Christ and the word are interchangeable. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. Brother Tom said it this morning, John 1, 13, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the word. God is the word. Jesus is God. They are all the same. We are called to preach the word. A few things have changed since I keep referring back to the first Testament church, or the New Testament church, to the apostolic church. A few things have changed, and we might have fancier outfits now than what they had. You know, we're not wearing sandals. Our gross toenails aren't on display for everybody to see. You know, it's a little different. Our apparel and outfits have changed. We have this wonderful sound system and musicians, talented singing, and we get to usher in God's presence that they just didn't have at that time. We can pay our tithes and offering online. They would not know what online meant. They would hang their clothes online, probably. We can give 10% of our money. They would give 10% of their grain. I don't have any grain. Maybe some of you do. I don't know, but things have changed. But one of the things that has not changed is the need and the importance of hearing the preached apostolic word of God. Other things can change. Some things are traditions, stained glass windows. Not every church has them, and it's not a requisite to go to heaven or hell, and they're beautiful. But if the church didn't have those, we'd be okay. If the church didn't have pews, we'd be okay. If we had to stand or sit on the ground, we'd be okay. But if we did not have the preached word of God, we would have nothing. Without the preached word of God, we're a social club. We're just gathering together on a Sunday, shaking hands, hugging necks. We need the preached word of God in our truth. It's by the preached word that we are saved. We cannot discount the word of God. 1 Corinthians 1 says, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." In the NLT, it says, "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God." The world is going to hear. It's saying the world hears this, and they call it foolishness. We've probably heard it. You probably have family members that have said that's foolishness. But to those that are saved, we understand that the preached word is the very power of God. We understand that God's voice, it's not my words. If it's my words, you guys are wasting your time. I'm wasting my time. We need it to be God's word that goes forth. Verse 21 of that same passage in the NLT, it says, "Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom." We will never know God. We cannot figure out God. God's bigger than us. His ways are higher. Let's just go ahead and kick that down the road. We're not going to believe in that. The scripture tells us that we are not going to be able to. But it says he has used our foolish preaching to save those that believe. I am the epitome of foolish preaching. Sorry, I'm here. Sorry to surprise everybody on that, but you're stuck with us now. We're not going anywhere. But it is by foolish preaching. It is by us just being open to what God is going to do. Me saying, "God, I don't know." You saying, you going in your work, "God, I don't have the words to say. God, I don't know, but I know that my job needs to hear you. I know that my school needs to hear you." And then you being bold in the Holy Ghost and preaching the word, that's how people are going to be saved. Romans 10, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him when they have not believed? How shall they believe in them when they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" How can this world call on somebody that they don't believe in? How can they believe on somebody when they've not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? It goes in stages. We need a preacher. You need to be a preacher to preach the word so that they can hear, so that they can believe, and that so that they can call on him. This place is going to be an open sanctuary for people to call upon the name of the Lord. Whoever walks in the door, whatever brokenness, I welcome brokenness. I welcome hurting. I welcome pain. I welcome suffering, because in this place, they can call upon the name of the Lord and they can believe that he is for them, that he has got a way out of their iniquity, a way out of their shame, a way out of their hurt. I heard Brother Gleason at youth convention, if you were here there this past year, he preached, and he preached something that was kind of provocative at first, but he explained it. But he said, "My favorite smell that I have whenever he enters into his church, his favorite smell is cigarette smoke." And when he said it, you kind of like, I mean, that's, if you've been around, it's typically not too desirable of a smell. And, you know, we all kind of chuckled and tried to figure it out. But then he followed it up and he said, "My favorite smell is cigarette smoke, because that means there's new people in there. That means there's people who are looking for something." And we're not here to condemn anybody who smells like cigarette smoke or who has any issues or bring, that's not what we're about. We're here to open up loving arms and welcome them, because we know God has a plan. God wants to do something in their lives, and we are going to preach the gospel to them. That's what we are called to do. God has called us to preach Christ to this dying world. We are called to preach the gospel. It's the central theme of apostolic preaching. We will preach heaven and hell. We will preach saved and lost. We will preach eternity with God because we are in a very fight for souls. We are in a fight for family members. There's mothers, there's fathers, there's sisters and children that need to hear the preached word of God. There's a very real enemy that is trying to draw them in and pull them closer to hell and trying to get them to lay aside things. And he's pulling them. But I got good news. There's a very real God who's standing on the other end. And he says, I'm here for you. I'm going to pull for you. I'm stronger than that. I love you more than they do. So we are going to preach that because our world, our families need to know that there is a God that loves them. There is salvation for them. There is grace for them. Thank God for grace. Where would I be? Where would I, not just saying it like we say it, where would Titus be? Where would Lauren be without God's grace? Oh, thank God for the grace. Thank God for the mercy. Thank God for the love. We are going to preach grace, mercy, and love to this world. The fourth pillar is unwavering witness. We are going to be a witness of what God has done in our lives. Romans 1 and 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. 1 Peter 2:9, we know this passage well. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We like to stop right there. We like to think that that's where that verse ends. Oh, I can be chosen. Of course I'm chosen. I can be royal. Why wouldn't I be? This is how royalty walks. Of course. It makes sense. I can be holy. Trust me, I can be holy. Some of us probably relate most to being peculiar here, if we were being honest. But we like to hear those things. But he doesn't say you are all those things so you can talk about how chosen you are. So you can talk about how holy you are, how royal or peculiar. That's not why you are those things. You are those things, as the verse continues, so that you could show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you've been chosen, if you're holy, good, great. It's not just for you to be holy sitting on a pew. It's for you to be holy in your job. It's for you to be chosen in your workplace. It's for you to be a light to this world. If God has done anything for you, has God done anything for anybody today? If he has, then he has called you to be a light into darkness. He has called you to come out of that darkness and to share what God has done. We love to be royal. We love to be chosen, but sometimes it's hard. I understand. It's hard. It's hard to show forth the praises, but that's what God wants us to do. That's why he chose you. He didn't choose you just so you could blend in with the world. He didn't make you royal. Royalty never blends in. Look at Princess Di or the other people that, the princes that got married recently and it was a big deal. I don't know them as well. But everywhere they go, they are known. The new princesses that have come into the kingdom. I'm getting off track here. But you go to a grocery store and you see their picture and look what she's wearing and this princess and, oh, they're so royal. She's so regal. Look how her hair. She just looks Pentecostal. I mean, that's all. Everything she's wearing is Pentecostal. So she's nothing special, but we notice that she's royal. We don't blend in. We shouldn't blend in. If they're not going to blend in and they're royal, you're royal. You're the child of God. You're the child of the King. You shouldn't blend in. You should be a witness. You should stand out amongst the crowd. They should know who you are. They should know that you're different. The world needs to know that we are different. We need to be different. First Apostolic Church will be a light in this community, is already a light in this community. I love that I get to walk into taking it to the streets. Sister Davis and her team, and I know there's other people involved, so I don't mean to discount anybody, but I know that Sister Davis and I talked Wednesday night about it, and I love what she said. She said, you know, we didn't know if you were going to be our pastor, if we'd have someone else. We didn't know what to do, so we just went ahead and planned it, and we're moving forward. And I said, tremendous. That is an opportunity to be a light in this community, and we are not going to go backwards when we've already shined a light. We are going to be very apostolic on taking it to the streets. We've invited other churches, and we're going to have them pray, and I'm excited about that, but we are not going to blend in with the Methodists. We are not going to blend in with the Lutheran. We are not going to say, now, Holy Father, Reverend King, now touch sandwich, or however they may pray. I'm not trying to belittle their prayers at all, but we are apostolic in how we pray. We are apostolic in how we believe, and we need to be apostolic at taking it to the streets. This city, this place that we live in needs to know that we serve not a dead God, but an alive God that has filled us with the Holy Ghost, that has a spiritual gift for each and every one of them, that they can walk in boldness and newness of the Holy Ghost, that they don't have to be bound by whatever they've come up against. That's what we believe, and that's what we are going to stand for. And as I close and move to the last one, I'm going to ask my wife to come be prepared. We've been talking about the pillars and the foundation of our apostolic church. We are going to have unceasing prayer. We are going to be a praying church. I want to be a better prayer. I want to pray more. I want that, I'm not just saying we're going to pray a lot and we're going to move on. Beyond corporate prayer, we're going to be a church body that prays, that seeks God, that has a desire for more of a relationship. Don't you want more of what God has? Don't you want more than, God's got this whole bucket of good. He's got a whole bucket that he wants to pour out, and yet we come to God saying, oh, this will do. Oh, this will be just enough for me. I don't even need a full 20-ounce bottle. I'll settle on a 10-ounce. Thank you. And I hope this is here next Sunday, because I plan on getting 10 more ounces next Sunday. And God is standing here with a 55-gallon drum of him, of his goodness, and saying, oh, I want to just kick that drum. But instead, like Brother Tom did today, and I know it's a different analogy, and I'm not going to waste this bottle because I'm thirsty and I'll need it. But if you're in this morning, Brother Tom just kind of splashed, and he talked about making a mess. I think sometimes we get satisfied that if we would just get, oh, that's God's spirit. That's good. I'll get more of that next Sunday. And God's like, but I got this bucket. I would give you a shower. I would dump it all over. I'd soak your clothes to the very core of you if you would just pray to me. The only thing that can hinder you getting more of God is you. No situation, no sickness, no financial problem, no family struggle. Nothing can separate us from the love of God besides you. If you want more of God, you got more of God. All it takes is you saying, God, I want more. And he says, okay, I got more. God, I want more. Okay, I got more. God's got a never-ending supply of his goodness, of his grace, of his love. But he's waiting upon you to seek him. So we will be unceasing in our prayer. We will be true to the apostles' doctrine. We will hear the preached word of God. We will be a witness of what God has done. And the very last pillar of what we are and who we will be is we will be unashamed in our worship. We will be a worshiping church. And this, I'm thankful, I've already told Brother Wells multiple times, this is a worshiping church. I come from a worshiping church, and so my wife and I have said multiple times, it just feels like home. You guys just worship, you sing, you preach with me, you're not leaving me high and dry. It's the best scenario for me. It's the best case scenario, and we are going to continue to be a worshiping church. We are going to be unwavering and unfettered in our worship. We are going to be a church that praises God. We're going to be a church that worships him as we stand and move to a close. John 4:23 says, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, and in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. That last scripture, the Father seeketh such to worship him. If you look anywhere in the Bible, anytime you see eth,
on the ending of a word, it means continually, in perpetuity, just continuing. So when you see seek eth, that means that the Father is continually seeking. It doesn't mean that verse stopped there. It's a verse for now. The Father is seeking, seeketh worshipers. He's still seeking worshipers to worship him. The early church, they were not silent in their worship. They were not hesitant in their worship. They were bold in their worship. It was so intense. It was so exciting. And the people around them said, we want that. Whatever that is, we want that. I don't know. I can't explain it. I just see it all over you, and I want that. We need to be a church that when someone walks in and they've never been in a Pentecostal service before, they'll see waving hands. They'll see jumping up and down. They'll see worship, not as a show, not as a spectrum, but just because we love our God, because he's worthy of praise, because he's worthy of glory. That's what we're going to become, a worshiping church. We will be a worshiping church. I know, I understand that we have different personalities. We have different comfort zones when it comes to worship. I'm not calling anybody to go be swinging from the chandeliers or doing cartwheels and backflips. I'm not calling you to be fake in your worship. I'm not calling you to that, but I do believe personally, I believe that if you think that God died on a cross for you, if you think that he died to save your sins, if you think that he loves you and he's coming back for you, I believe God's worthy of more than just... And hear me, the last thing I want to do is criticize and step on toes and attack. This is not my mission to offend. My mission is to just encourage that God, I believe God wants a little bit more than you are good. Oh, you are good. If someone came in and said, hey, you just won $1 million, Publishers Clearinghouse, whatever. Thank you. Oh, probably. I have some bills, so I'll probably pay that off. I need to fill up my gas tank, so I guess that'll help go a long way there. We would be ecstatic, overwhelmed, exciting. We would tell our neighbors. We'd be so overwhelmed. And yet we come into the presence of the creator of the universe who has said, I see each and every one of you. I'm coming here. And we can't sit back in that. We need to be excited about what God has done. We need to be true worshipers of what he has called us to. We're getting ready to worship, and we're going to close this in a way that I'm not even comfortable closing it out. But get ready. We're getting ready to, but we're going to close it out with some worship. I told my wife driving here this morning, I don't know what I'm doing on this close as we come to the altar. I'm very much more comfortable in the somber, let's all cry, let's find a place quiet and set aside. I can maybe tell a sad story that'll prick a heart, but I don't think that that's what God wants for our first service together. I think he's ready for a little bit of worship. He's ready for us to just do something a little different. He wants us to get outside of our comfort zone. He wants us to move past what we're comfortable with. Why don't we just come forth, whatever that looks like. Why don't you do something a little different today? Why don't you just grab someone by the hand? If you're used to raising your hand, raise two hands. Come on, if you bounce a little bit, maybe dance a little bit. I don't know what that looks like for you, but God wants to do something. God wants to do something in our hearts. The scripture says, clap your hands, all you people. Why don't we clap our hands? Shout unto God. Why don't we lift up our name? Shout unto God right now. Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. He's the rock of our salvation. Come on, has he done anything for you? Come on, why don't we just open up this place and worship? Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus. God, we give you glory. God, we give you praise. God, we give you honor. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, let's worship him. Come on, let's worship him. Grab your neighbor. Come on, encourage somebody. God, you're worthy. Hallelujah. All right. God wants to do something. And God wants, I'm going to push, forgive me. Talk to me afterwards. I don't care. But right now, I got the microphone, and I believe that God wants more. We're settling in to what we've done before. God wants more than what we've done before. We've done this before. If you've done this before, maybe pump the knees. If you've gone up and down, go side to side. I don't know. But we're going to do something. You know what? We don't even need music. I'm crazy right now. Help me, Lord. But God's worthy. Come on, why don't you just, right where you're at, if he's done anything for you, come on, if he's touched your body, if he's healed your body, come on, why don't we just be open with our worship right now? God, we praise you. God, we worship you. Oh, God, we give you glory. God, we give you honor. God, we exalt you. Yes, that's it. That's it. Come on. Come on, worship him, whatever that looks like. Come on, picture that need that you have. Picture that family member. Picture that situation. And why don't you worship God for the answer? The answer may not be there yet, but worship God for the answer. Worship in faith, believing that he's going to do it, believing that he's going to provide a way out. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 God, we worship you. God, we worship you. Oh, God, we will be a church that worships you. Oh, we'll be a church that praises you. Oh, we give you glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Yes, that's it. Come on. Come on, let's push a little bit. I know this is different. Come on, just a few more seconds. Let's entertain the Almighty right now. Hallelujah. God, I pray, make your presence made known right now. Oh, let the Holy Ghost fall over each and every one of us. God, I speak into hopeless situations right now. I speak into trials and tribulations right now. God, and worship will bring us through. Worship will bring us out, God. Oh, God, there's a financial situation, God, in this very church, and I pray, God, that worship would bring them through. God, we worship you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we praise you. God, we praise you. Jesus. Oh, God, we praise you. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Come on, why don't we just entertain his presence? Let's move into a time of prayer. If you have a need, God is in this place. I know this is different. I understand that. But I believe we've welcomed in the presence of the Almighty. Two or three are gathered here, and he is here. He's inhabited our praises. Now he wants to do a work in our hearts. He wants to give us a new heart, just like Brother Tom talked about today. Oh, he wants to do something pure in our hearts right now. God, we welcome you here. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you.
we sing this together.
To worship you I live, to worship you I live, I live to worship you. I live to worship you. I live to worship you. To worship you, I live to worship you. 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 To worship you, I live to worship you. I live to worship you. I live to worship you. I live to worship you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Lord.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you.
Can we just sing it one more time?
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. To worship you, I live.
Hallelujah.
To worship you, I live to worship you.
We're going to be a church that prays, believes the apostles' doctrine, that lives by it, that preaches the word, that is a witness to our world, and we are going to be a worshiping church. Amen. As we close, why don't we lift up our hands and thank God for this foundation of this great church, and also thank God in advance for the revival, for what we're going to see happen in Sandwich. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for what you've done before. We thank you, God, for what you've done.
the lives that have been changed, the situations, God, that have led us to being in this room, in this place, God, and I thank you for that, and I rejoice for that. But God, I pray, Lord, for revival here. God, upon this foundation, you will build your church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it. God, you will do it in this place. God, this will be a foundation for revival. God, this will be a place that's prepared for your spirit to move, to work, to operate however you see fit. God, we relinquish control and we let you move. God, we let you do whatever you're desiring to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There are a few still praying, so please be respectful of those praying. We want them to get what they need today. But we love you and you are dismissed in this place. God bless.